Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. Hey, it's Cousin Sal, your old friend, coming to you. Mikey Meatballs is producing this disaster of a program. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds at D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlor Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Yeah, Sal, what's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, we got the divisional round, Brother Bri. We're going to get into it a little bit there. We're going to get, we have NBA picks for you. I'm trying to think. You guys, Sharp Tank, it's at the end of the week. Harry, I think, has got some Australian Open for us. Harry, what round are they in? I feel like I've neglected this tournament.
Oh, they're ending the second. They're about to start the third round.
Okay. Will you let us know precisely when they start the third round? Because I need to know these things.
Tomorrow in Australia today. So I don't know.
Yeah, forget it.
It starts too early. This is my same problem I have with golf. When golf
starts
too early.
Wait till the Super Bowl ends before you do anything.
Yeah, wait till the Super Bowl ends. Let's go. Give us February.
I'm on Mountain Time and I screw up everything time-wise on Mountain Time. Forget about being the next day. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't real serious about it. But yeah, either that, Bri, or it's just a weekday tournament. You know, leave the weekends open. Something to bet. I was trying to look for the sports news for Wednesday. We're doing this Wednesday night. Not so much, except this I found interesting, of course. The Mets are retiring number 16 and number 18 this year. April 14th and June 1st, Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. Long time coming. Good job, Mets. We got to do something to keep the fans interested. We have to do something. Pauly Kid, you won't be going to any of these. These are Yankees too, but you don't care that the Mets are retiring the numbers.
Look, it's if you hit, I guess if you have like four good seasons,
right?
And you know for the Mets that their wall of fame or whatever you want to call it is so thin that it's rather easy to get into that or to be part of that. So
interesting.
Goodbye. But I like Gooden and I like Strawberry. I personally like
you should. Both I don't guys. Think you win that 96 championship if not for the right as a Yankee fan, right? Was that it?
Gooden was really more 95, I believe, right? But Strawberry certainly helped out more. I like both guys. I mean, they've overcome well. Probably still struggling a little bit in their lives, I'm sure.
I think Strawberry has pretty much, you know, he's married, he's on the straightened path.
No, he seems like he's got it together. Yeah,
we know some kind of preacher deal going
and downs.
Well, I think it's no coincidence, Parlor Kid, that they gave Dwight Gooden's is in April and Straw's is in June. I think they're like, hey, we got two dates open. We have April 14th and we have June 1st. Who do we give to Gooden and who do we give to Strawberry? Like, give Gooden the first one. Let's make sure.
You think he shows up? So
two guys that had they been able to stay away from drugs,
Man,
could have been all time greats.
The best.
There was nobody. What Dwight Gooden was doing at 19 years of age, was.
Some of what he was doing. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
On the mound.
Right.
I think he was clean. Obviously, I think he was clean then until he was corrupted by some of the other players. But he was so good, so electric, right? That curveball was unhittable.
Amazing.
And he was so young at that time. What a shame. But I do like both guys. I do.
24,
so congratulations.
24 and 4 as a 20-year-old. My God, a 1.53 ERA. You're just not going to see that. You're just not going to see a lot of these from 17-9 as a rookie in 84. Bri, what were you going to say? I've got a lot of complaints that I'm not letting you speak enough. Go ahead.
That's fine. But where do you rank those two, like as a Met fan, you got Seaver and Piazza at the top and then those guys follow in terms of just what they meant for that short time period. Or do you have guys like Carter and Hernandez?
I think I have Hernandez ahead of those two. I have David Wright, I think, ahead of all those guys, except for maybe the first two you named. But it's close. It really gets close.
Right,
I definitely think they should
be
retired numbers. Like, this is a long time coming.
I mean, I get it. Like, David Wright had better overall career stats and he finished with better numbers. But just in terms of what it meant to be a Met, right? In terms of the excitement of being a Met, I think Strawberry I think Strawberry and Gooden have to be like at least top three and four. Top
outstanding.
Three and four.
Yeah, I think so. You got to put them up there. And in a weird way, Rusty Staub is up there and Mookie. And, you know, but yeah, I think for sure Piazza, Wright, Strawberry, Seaver, Hernandez, Gooden. We can go on and on talking about the Mets. But yeah, you're right, Paulie Kidd. That was an unhittable ball. You're like, oh my God, this guy's going to be great for 15 years. And then it just, it's so sad what happens. I'm looking at these numbers now. He went to the Yankees in 96. He was 11-7.
Was that 96? Wasn't five, huh?
Yeah. And then Strawberry just with that swing. Brian, I hadn't seen anything like it. I really hadn't. Harry, you were in David Justice world back then. Actually, it was a little later for Justice, right?
Yeah. I mean, Darren's right. So good and so young. Not even really knowing what he's doing, but being so incredibly dominant at the time, just seemed so easy for him that such early age really was dominating.
24-4. My God, 153. All right, so good job by the Mets. That'll be fun.
Over your right shoulder, is that the baseball I got you for when you turn 50? Signed by both those guys, right?
Now I
got
to turn. It's tough for a fat man like me to think. Yes, it is. There it is, right in front of Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Strawberry.
There you go. There they are. Now I got to turn back. I got the wall with the left field wall over.
Wasn't that cheap either, Darren? Just letting you know, Darren. Just letting you know.
I knew that was your whole angle. I mean, you do owe South thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
You let them have it, Paulie Kidd.
That was my angle. I'm not denying it. You're right.
So totally. I was thinking as soon as he said it, he just wants to be like, look what I got, Sal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, being that you probably owe Sal. And that
Parsons football, too, Darren. And that Parsons football, by the way.
Yeah, I gave that away after Sunday. That was gone.
McCarthy's name, by the way. I just saw him.
Yeah. Well, we thought that anyway. All right, listen.
I broke that news yesterday on the pod.
Yeah, look, they said he was coming back. They don't care. They don't care.
It's not fun. Come on, Schefter.
Not fun.
Come on.
Everybody's got McCarthy's going to stay. I mean, we didn't have a leg up with the Falcons interviewed both Harbaugh and Belichick, right? Is that where could they hire them both, Bri? Maybe they hire them both. Maybe Belichick's a defensive coordinator and Harbaugh's the head coach. Wow, that'd be something. That's the move, Atlanta. Forget, get your crappy players. Coaches mean something.
That's the
way to do it. Yeah. All right. Let's do this. So here's what's going to happen. Brother Brian and I are going to go on Cousin Sal's winning weekend on Friday. We're going to give you all our sides. We'll give you a couple of props too. There's no shortage of props. There is a shortage of games, unfortunately. There's only four left. And then from what I hear, Brian, then there's two next week. And then there's a week off. And then there's only one. Are you kidding me? They can't do this to us. They cannot do this. We need tennis. We need Australian Open to go to last for about 6 or 7 weeks. But let's start the Saturday afternoon noon game, Baltimore -9.5, 43.5 against Houston. Like I said, Brian and I, we're going to give you a couple props here or maybe some total bets. But this is all going to be Harry and the Parlay Kid steering the ship here. All right, Harry, actually, you have the same thing that I was going to give out here. So you like the under in this game.
I do. Under 43.5. I know it opened around like 45, down to 43.5 here. They played in week one in Baltimore. 25-9 was the final. All Houston could come up with was three Fairburn field goals. Houston lit it up at home versus Cleveland, but playing in Baltimore, obviously a different story. The Ravens, and by the way, in that game, Lamar Jackson, not that great, only 169 yards, no touchdowns, and one pick. The Ravens versus AFC South teams this year gave up an average of just 15 points per game, and all four contests landed 41 points or less. Maybe the moment is too big for Ryans and his rookie quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Baltimore doesn't have to show everything, I don't think, by the fourth quarter. I think they rely on the running game a lot. Also, Lamar, four playoff games, all four games under 44 points. And the last five games, because Huntley played last year in the playoff game, that game went under two, went under 41 points. So Ravens' last five playoff games, all under 44. I've got Baltimore winning this game by the 24-13. So it's going to be close by the spread, but plenty good on the under.
Okay, I'll pile on some trends here for the under because I like it too. Under is 16-7. Where the last 23 games where the Ravens are favored and Texans games are 11-6 to the under this year. Yeah. So there's usually a bye team that gets off to a slow start offensively. And I am going to nominate the Baltimore Ravens. It's been Well, it'll be 3 weeks since they played a meaningful game. I think they're going to be a little out of sync offensively. Like I said, maybe more Justin Tucker than anything in the first half, first 2.5 quarters, 3 quarters, whatever. So I'm going to go under as well, Harry. All right. Parley Kid, you got player prop here. Flowers.
Yeah. I know who I like to win these games, which shouldn't surprise you. I like pretty much all the favorites. So I haven't decided on these large spreads just yet.
Especially Saturday with the first-year playoff quarterbacks, at least. It's, you know, which one shows up.
Yeah. And they're playing great, right? So I got to think a little bit more about where I'm going there. But so, you know, I really, this Baltimore team, I think the one biggest difference to this team this year, especially as of late, has been this Zay Flowers kid.
Yeah.
For Baltimore. They haven't had a receiver. I mean, I guess you could say Hollywood Brown for a little bit. This kid is legit. He is legit. He's super fast. The last two games, 106 yards, 72 yards. He's had an average of 8 targets a game the last two games. 2 out of his last 4 games, he's had double-digit targets from Lamar. I really like him here to go over 48.5 yards receiving against this Texans secondary. I just don't think it's an elite secondary just yet. Some people might get on me for that, but I think Flowers emerges here. I think these speed receivers are becoming, when we watch these playoff games, right? These speedy receivers are dominating the playoffs for the most part. Flowers fits into that mold. He's been great. I kind of questioned the draft pick at the time. I wasn't sure a receiver out of Boston College.
Right.
He's been as good as they thought he would be, and he's getting better as this season progresses. Let's take Zay Flowers over 48.5 yards receiving at -114.
I like it, and he definitely passes the eye test. Like when they played Miami, I was like, "Oh man, this guy is as fast as Tyreek Hill." And then I'm like, "Yeah, I'll just keep that to myself because maybe that's I know, maybe that's right? not the case." Yeah. So sure. Anyway, but I he looks super fast, and you're right. I mean, probably could look at the Browns secondary was top 5 in the last 20 years, except for some reason it didn't transfer when they jumped on an airplane and played on the road. And we look at all the big plays the Texans made. I think just to your point about the receivers. By the way, I'm trying to think because I don't want to show my hand here. But there was one prop. FanDuel has a prop where will they be a 70-yard touchdown pass this weekend? And you got I wish I had it up.
75.
Did you look at that, Bri? What were the odds on that? 6 or 7 or more?
I think it was about 6.
6-1. All right. Like something like that. There was one last week, right? With the Texans. So something like that with the speedy receivers. Not a bad thought there. All right, Bri, what you got?
All right. Well, you know, Sal, the funny thing is too, like you guys were talking about with the Texans. If you like the Texans, right, you probably would play the first quarter. You play the first quarter of the first half because the first quarter you can get them at +185s. For the half, you can get them at +220. If you think if the Ravens are going to come out and struggle. That's one thing I would just say. But I am going a prop here, which is completely different what I was just saying. But I'm taking Gus Edwards to score anytime touchdown. And the funny thing about Gus Edwards, I have never been on Gus Edwards for anything. Never had him in fantasy. Never taken him for any type of prop. Never taken him for a first touchdown prop, even though he always seems to be the guy to get the first touchdown. But I do like this prop here because you're getting +120. He's scored in 8 of his last 11 games. And that includes that Pitt game where they weren't really even trying to score offensively at the end of the game. 13 touchdowns on the season. And look, the Texans against the run have been pretty good. They only let up 3.5 yards per carry. They did give up 19 rushing touchdowns on the season, which puts them in the bottom 5 in the league. So I think you take Gus Edwards here to score his typical touchdown from the 1 yard line here. So,
all right. Yeah. It seems to happen a lot in that game. All right. For that team. All right. And then the night game, Saturday night game, this is not on Peacock, right? We don't, not every Saturday night game is on Peacock. Thank God. All right. Okay, good. Harry will get to watch this. You won't have to run off to a restaurant with the lovely Angie. But
he says, 49ers, thanks, he says, thank God. I thought he got it. I thought he has access to it.
I thought
it.
I did. I don't.
So it doesn't. I know, which really means you didn't really try.
And what, well, yeah. Angie kind of did it. But also, I saw that they have all those past episodes, lost episodes of The Office, which I wanted to check out, but I still don't have it.
Lost yeah, episodes could, of The Office.
Whatever.
Wait,
extra episodes.
What? Oh,
what?
They have extra.
I don't know what he's talking about.
The, no, I don't know about extra episodes.
If he did get it, he canceled it for sure. There's no way he's on the hook for another $7.
Maybe he downloaded the app and then like, oh my God, you actually have to sign in and pay money for this.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, she did it. She signed in on the television. So when we got back from the restaurant, I went to sign late third quarter. Not on. I said, yeah, but if you figure it out, I'm going to the car.
I'm pretty sure if you signed in, it's not logging you out on that first day you signed
probably
in.
Probably right.
But then what happened? So you went to the car and did she try it?
Genius, Bri. I don't know.
You asked her to try to get it and she couldn't still, right?
No, she said after she said she did. She said, we're all good. She said, we're all good on Friday. She said, we're all good. So then.
I'm talking about when you went in the car, you asked her to still try to get it, right?
Yeah, I said if you can still get it, I'd rather, because I still wanted to see a couple things on Peacock. Yeah. By the time the game was over, she still didn't get it. I said,
I don't care. Okay, that's fine.
I don't care.
It's fine. I know. I'm sorry. I'm getting dizzier. Just listen. All right. So the 49ers are also 9.5-point favorite at home. 50.5 full touchdown. Heavier than over under than Baltimore, Houston, 50.5 against Green Bay. All right, Harry, let's start us off here. You got a teaser that you think is going to work out.
Yeah, I'm going to push that. You know, I hate laying points, Sal, especially in the playoffs. I'm going to tease it down. San Fran 2.5.
That's you hate that, but you were 0-6 last week. So maybe try something different.
All right. Yeah. Well, I took some paper. San Francisco -2.5 and over 43.5. Obviously Green Bay had their day last week versus Dallas. They're currently playing with a ton of house money. So let's tease it. Just in case, with the number one seed in the NFC, San Francisco's third in points scored this year and third in rushing yards against, which could shut down Aaron Jones and have to make Love pass a ton here. The Niners offense will get theirs. Maybe a late score for the Packers may mean the spread and total. So I'm going to go 30-20 San Fran.
Okay, 30-20 parlay kid. I think the Cowboys, back when they were good, beat the 49ers 30-20 in a championship game. I might be Mikey Meatballs, if you want to look that up and depress us further. I do think I have a picture of us in front of a TV and it says 30-20 Cowboys. Well, they beat the Packers 30-20. Maybe they beat the Packers 30-20. I don't know. All right. Parlay kid, hit us up. You have a player prop.
Yeah, that's an interesting score by Harry. I don't know why he's teasing it down, though, if he's predicting 30 to 20.
You know, it's a little mysterious. I want to be safe, Darren. That's why I'm laying.
I get it. I mean, that's what I would do, too. So maybe I get it.
I have anything left in the tank on Saturday night. Who knows?
Okay.
I'm confirming January 17th. This is... 31 years ago today, 30-20, Cowboys beat the Niners.
Today, wow.
Is that our last
those
NFC
are the good
playoff
old days.
Win?
No, those are the good old days.
Oh. Jesus. Oh, man. Emmett, Darryl Johnson scores, Kelvin Martin. Those were the freaking days. Sorry
Kelvin
to cut
Martin
you off.
Scored in that game?
He did.
So, Aikman, 125 yards.
I don't think so. Oh. I don't know. I mean, you want me to look?
Maybe right. 150.
I mean, this was a high scoring game, I think. How about 322? What do you say to that? 24 for 34, 322, two touchdowns.
Picks? Yeah. Any picks?
Zero. Mm. Yeah, you have a different memory of Troy than everyone else does. It's like the most accurate passer.
When it's another guy.
That got him in the ring at UCLA, I guess. I guess I came.
Still on that. All right, Parley, kick. Go ahead.
I'm going to take another receiver prop here, Sal. Jaden Reed. The Packers over 41.5 yards receiving at -114. Reed averages, about 50 yards receiving per game, a good 9 to 10 yards more than this number. I think it's a little low here. One, because believe it or not, for as torched as the Cowboys got, Reed had 0 yards
wow.
in that game. Isn't that incredible? The best receiver on this team in that game had 0 yards. So he was out on that field a lot.
Yeah.
He's another guy like Flowers where it's this young speed that is taking over the game. And I always like receivers off a bad week, especially like the best receiver on the team, to then bounce back with a big time performance. And when you're asking a guy like Reed for 41.5 yards, this is a team that throws the ball down the field, Sal. They make big plays. It might just be 1 or 2 catches. And I got this number. I do like Reed to bounce back with a nice performance. I do like your pick as well. That's actually the first one I thought about, and then I saw that you had it. So then I went to this Reed one, and I like this here too.
Let me mention this then, as long as you teed me up here, Aaron Jones under 71.5 rushing yards -112. Now our friend, John Jastrzemski, my co-host, the Ring of Wise Guys, coined the phrase, the rat line of the week. It's a line. It's a spread that doesn't make sense. Right. This, I think, is the rat player prop of the week, unless you really look into it, because Aaron Jones, 71.5, he only went over this number in each of the last 4 games. And during that span, he had at least 111 yards rushing, which is 40 yards above what they're asking of him on Saturday. But if you look closely at the last 9 games versus 49ers run defense, that defense has allowed the top rusher 56, 44, 45, 86 was the bad one, 44, 20, 47, 30, 35. That's 8 out of 9 went for under 72 yards. And if you think it's a game where the Packers, I liked Aaron Jones, I think his over under receiving yards was 25.5 or somewhere. I'll look it up. That I like better than.
I think it was even less. I think
was it less than 25? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I think he figures into the passing game more than the rushing game, believe it or not, despite the success he's had over the last month. So give me Aaron Jones under 71.5 rushing yards. Brian, we did you? I'm confused now with the Packers.
We didn't do you. We didn't. Yes, and the funny thing was, I liked yours too. That was the one. I was like about ready to write it down. I was like, oh, Sal has this one too. And it's one of those things, if you think like the 49ers can get up on the Packers early in that game, then if they're playing from behind, it's going to, you know, you can't run the ball as much. That's kind of dictates what happens in that game. But I'm taking a weird one here. I'm going Romeo Doubs under 36.5 yards receiving. Look, it seems really low, especially right. He comes off a monster game where he has like 150 receiving yards against the Cowboys. But and you can pass on the 49ers a little bit, but I do think he comes back down to earth. If you look at his stats, he had 32 or less receiving yards in 4 of his prior 5 games. And the Packers, and probably Kim was just talking about this, Packers have a ton of young receivers that could step up and have big games at any point in time. I tend to agree with Darren. I do think Reed is the guy this week, I think, who has a much bigger game. So I'm going to take Doubs to go under here.
All right. Let me just say this. If you want to pick a player prop for the Packers, don't use the Cowboys box score as any indication because there's no way to figure out what the hell happened there. It doesn't make sense that they ran all over them and still had time or still had the wherewithal to throw for what that everybody was wide open. And like you said, Paul, like Reed, their top receiver didn't do anything. Like made sense in that game.
Crazy.
Garbage team. Mike McCarthy back. All right.
And you're bringing him back.
I need to take a break.
You got to. If Prescott's going to be your quarterback, you got to bring him back.
That's true.
I mean, that's just the way it is. That stinks. Yeah.
One more.
That's the way it is.
One more year. I mean, we looked at it
Garrett
got 7.5, 8 years more than he should have. So McCarthy's going to get a couple more, more than his expiration date. All right. Quick break. We'll go over the Sunday action when we return. All right, Detroit, 6.5-point favorite, 48.5 is the over-under. Tampa Bay comes to town. A little trash talk here. CJ Gardner-Johnson, D-back for Detroit, said something that the Bucs are without a good quarterback. And then Baker said, shut up. Tell him he needs to brush up on his film study. I don't think that's smart. I think Baker's playing, you know, you go by that Eagles game.
Why would you say that?
Wait, he's throwing the ball, parlor kid. My goodness.
Why would you give a team bulletin board material. You can get the Cowboys bulletin board material. They don't care. But you can't get these other teams' bulletin board material.
Well, especially when we're looking so hard for an underdog. But I don't expect. Well, let's see. Harry, let's start with it. Well, I'll ask you, Harry. This is your team. Why are your players getting so mouthy?
I don't know. That's very, listen, came from the Eagles. Gardner Johnson did. They had a rough season as well. A lot of dissension with Philly at the end of the season, probably. And, you know, he left for Detroit. He was banged up. He had a nice season at the end. I don't know why I said that. Darren's right. Why start now? But listen, I'm still going to roll with my Detroit Lions, Al. I'm going to lay the points. And you do.
Finally.
You do have to give it up to Baker and the Bucs last week, who actually looked fabulous versus a fraudulent Philadelphia team. But Tampa Bay was still 20th in the NFL in points scored and 32nd in rushing. That should allow the Detroit D-line to get after Mayfield. That equals another huge game for Aiden Hutchinson. Hutch had 2 sacks versus the Rams last week and has 7 sacks over his last 3 games. The dynamic duo of Montgomery and Gibbs in the backfield have been terrific all year. Montgomery hasn't scored in just 3 games all year. And one of those games, he went down early in the first quarter. Ultimately, guys, I think it's Goff's time. He is the Prince of Michigan right now. He's the dude in Detroit. Restore the roar. Detroit 30, Tampa Bay 16.
Harry went for all alliterations except for the first one. He's the dude in Detroit. He is the, what was the other thing you said?
Did I say the Prince of Michigan?
Yeah, that's the one that doesn't make sense. The dude of Detroit. What'd you say? What was the third one?
Restore the roar.
Restore the roar. Dude of Detroit, Prince of Michigan.
Yeah.
Is that not the man of Michigan? Not the I don't know what you, the monarch of Michigan. Yeah. He's a dude. All right. I don't know. I thought you were going for all 3. I thought you were going for the triple crown. Paulie, kid, you like this bet. Harry, you and Harry actually had the same thing for a minute, and then one of you stepped aside, and you like this teaser.
Prince, the performer, the singer, was from Minnesota, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, close.
In case he was trying to make that reference in a way, borders, I'm not sure. I don't think Harry would.
A couple hundred miles. 600, 500.
Yeah, Wisconsin's in the middle of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
you got a teaser here, Parley Kid.
Yeah, and I kind of stole this from Harry because I really love this Detroit teaser. Yeah, 6-point teaser. So Detroit giving a half a point and the game under 54.5. It'd be hard for any of us here to go with Tampa just to win the game, right? I mean, there's no more surprises. Tampa has for the most part, Mayfield is a hot quarterback, even though he did have a dud down the stretch, one or two of those. But that might have been due to some, you know, being banged up a little bit. But this crowd is going to be as loud as any crowd in the playoffs this week. Tampa, obviously, after a nice showing, is going to get a rude awakening playing here. So I obviously like Detroit. I think they're just a more talented team, at least on the offensive side of the ball. Some more speed, as Harry was alluding to as well. Excuse me. And the under plays into the fact that, under 54.5, that Tampa will, though, their defense does show up on a weekly basis. They very rarely get annihilated. Bowles has done, I'm not a huge Bowles fan, but he does do a nice job with his defense. He's obviously a defensive coach, and that Tampa gets the most out of their defense. And I do think, I don't see Detroit, lighting the scoreboard up for 40-something points. I really feel like this is going to be a 31-17 game. And like Harry said before, just playing it safe with the tees. But I feel it's going to be a 2-touchdown win for Detroit. So part of me will probably come back with just Detroit on that with the points too at some point.
Okay. All right. I have thoughts. Well, I'll save them for tomorrow with this Tampa thing. I think it'll be a little closer than everyone. I mean, Brian, it all depends if you think that Tampa's offense is back or if they're, back to what they did against the Panthers week 18 in the game they had to have, or against New Orleans the week before that. But I just looking at Baker throw the ball, I think he's going to keep them in. And they might pressure him a lot. But anyway, here's my prop I'll give you. My player prop, going off of what the Parlay Kid says, I like getting, or at least in this instance, taking a player or receiver who did not perform well last week. And that's Mike Evans, who's obviously the main guy in Tampa. I like him 80 or more receiving yards at plus 134. Like I said, he's gone under 80 the last three. So I'm going with the he's due narrative. He's gone over 80 six times this year. He has a 162 in there, a 143, a 171. Couple big grabs by a big player in a big spot, I think. He's had three 100-yard games in the playoffs over his career. So look for Mike Evans. I'm getting a nice plus number there if you adjust it to 80-plus receiving yards, plus 134. By the way, you look at Detroit. I forgot about this. No stranger to giving up giant numbers to the team's best receiver. Puka, CeeDee Lamb, the last five top receivers, well over 100, and in some cases, 200.
That's a good call.
Take a look at that. All right, Brian, you have a receiving, it's tight end, right?
Going Laporta over 35 and a half receiving yards. And look, it was encouraging for the Lions last week that Laporta was back. I didn't even think, I thought there was no way he was playing that game. And he looked pretty normal, even if he wasn't 100%. The one thing I'll say about the Bucs defense, though, the one weakness they have, though, is stopping tight ends. They gave up the second most receiving yards on the season to tight ends at 63 yards per game. I think the Lions do a good job of exploiting the weaknesses of these defenses. So I think Laporta gets back to full strength here, and he goes over that low number of very, very low number of 35.
That does seem low. That seems like him getting past the first level twice, right?
Yeah.
20 and 16. He could do that.
That's fantastic pick.
I like that a lot. As long as he's healthy. Why not?
He's got to be. They wouldn't have him out there.
Yeah.
Unless he was close to being fully healthy. So.
The main event of the weekend, Buffalo home for Kansas City, 2.5-point favorite, 45.5 is the over-under. Really good one. Really good. I hope it's as good as I'm looking at it in front of me. I hope we see a good version of Mahomes and Allen, and not a lot of drops, and not a terrible weather factoring in. I think it's supposed to be cold, but nothing like last week. Is that right, Parlay Kid? Maybe I'll ask Andre Reed.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, you couldn't really top last week, right?
Yeah.
With the temperatures, but I do think it's going to be barely cold.
Being played late in the day too. So, but anyway, all right, Harry, give us your pick here. You got a whopper of an adjusted line.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills -5.5 at +144. For the purpose of this podcast, but I'm going to take the Bills -9.5. I'm going to take the Bills -13.5. Listen, I just think it's a Bills blowout from beginning to end. Finally, Mahomes, Kelce, and Andy Reid have to go on the road in the playoffs. Like I said, I'm laying the 5.5 here.
+144.
I know Brian mentioned yesterday that he doesn't think this is going to be a blowout. In fact, I believe he thinks it's going to be a really close game. I totally disagree. This is Josh Allen's moment. He's taking care of KC in the regular season the last 3 years, but now it's time to do it in the postseason. Buffalo played their best game of the season against Miami at home when they beat him 48-20 around fourth or fifth week of the season. That's what I'm giving out on Sunday. Buffalo 48, Kansas City 20.
Wow. A lot to say about this.
What is that adjusted line? Let me look.
48-20?
-27.5. What's 27.5?
I respect the confidence here, Harry.
Well, okay. But Harry, make this your side of the year then. Get it all out of the way in January, you know?
So you're also saying you've given up on
this playoff.
The refs are not fixing this game for the Chiefs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, this is what I worry about. How could this win?
They could and would fix it, but Buffalo just annihilates them, so the refs just got to be like, we can't do this. We can't.
This is some script that Harry's written about the NFL script.
By the way, talking to Michael Lombardi today, Sal, he didn't know where I was coming from with this one. He wasn't so sure about it.
I'm not so sure about it. I tend to disregard anything you say about any Chiefs game because it always ends in you complaining about the refs, rightfully or not, you know? So, all right. So
-27.5 is 17-1.
Oh, do that, Harry.
Do it.
Do that. 17-1 So this is your, are you calling this your playoff pick of the year or something?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. All right. There you go.
-2.5 but at -2.5
Parlay kid, you have Allen. You want to take this bet back knowing how confident Harry is and how absolutely bad he's been. I mean, I've not been much better.
Yeah, I appreciate the confidence. I do. Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. I do appreciate Harry's confidence and his convictions for this game. Uh-huh. I haven't decided on this one. I think I am leaning towards Buffalo to cover in this one. I just maybe think it's, you know, just their time. But that being said, it's just looking up at the weather. It does say about 21 degrees Sunday night. So winds 10 to 15. It's actually probably a decent Buffalo night. That night.
Perfect.
So,
perfect night.
But cold enough where some people are still, it's going to be, you know, it's not always fun to play.
Well, Harry, that's not a huge Bills advantage. You understand? No. The Chiefs just came. Huge,
but yeah. I'm just saying perfect weather. At least, look, at least we've made it at 21 degrees. We don't have to see snot icicles out of our Andy Reid's nose anymore.
Yeah, you don't know that. Maybe he likes to look at it. Maybe he's been complimented all week about it.
Yeah,
maybe
it's below freezing, so I guess it could happen.
Right. He doesn't understand
disgusting.
That.
Yeah, I like Allen. Anytime touchdown. I had him last week at +145 Obviously, this number, was it +145 or +115 last week? Either way. I hit it last week with that 52-yard touchdown run. I didn't anticipate him getting it from that distance, but he has been an absolute touchdown machine, especially over the last, like, dozen games, averaging more than a touchdown a game for the Bills. And at -115 I just think that is a solid prop. Because let's face it, I still don't, except for in that Cowboys game, I still don't get the opinion that they trust any of their running backs around the goal line. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they trust Cooks that much around the goal line because he does put the ball on the ground once in a while. Obviously, Allen does too. But if we know if they're on the one, we know what they're doing. Allen's getting in, but he can break it, obviously, from anywhere. Allen, anytime touchdown, -115
Yeah, I'm looking to score great. I'm looking at like his adjusted rushing yards too, because he has some good numbers too. What so he had? What did he have? He had 74 against Pittsburgh. He had 67 against Miami. He's had an 81 in there. If you do some of these adjusted, what am I saying? You know, like 70 or more is +270 Even 60 or more is +182 If you love the Josh Allen taking off and not getting hit, that's a good one. All right, Bri. Well, actually, let me take it first because I think another guy could score down low, and it's Kincaid, Dalton Kincaid. I gave it out last week, +300 I think it was +350 last week when I gave it out. It's 3-1 this week, it hit on Ringer Wise, guys. I think it hits again. He scored versus Steelers on Monday. 21 targets over the last three games. 8 targets versus the Chiefs in December. He's become a Josh Allen favorite. So I'm going to bounce back with Dalton Kincaid for touchdown, 3-1 Now, Bri, this Laporta seemed like a big, a low number for receiving. I like that out of you. But Kelce, over 5.5 receptions, huh? And -145
Yeah, and you're laying -145 And look, I think Kelce finally, he played with some enthusiasm last week, right? There was some fire with him last week. And you saw, you know, he did look a little bit more like himself. Maybe not 100%, but he still had 71 yards on 7 receptions. And look, the thing is, Mahomes really right now trusts two guys, right? He trusts Rice or he trusts Kelce. But I will say, Kelce routinely has just had big games against the Bills, right? He was 6-for-83 earlier in the season, 8-for-108 last season. In 2021, when they played each other twice, he had 2 monster games there. So again, you know, unless he's dropping a couple balls here, I'd expect him this to be another 7-8 catch game for him. So I think I think 5.5 while it maybe seems high the way he's played recently, I don't really think it's that high.
Who gets CBS gets it? This is a Romo game, right?
Yeah.
This is a Romo game. Yeah, it's gotta be. All right. So there'll be cutaways, Taylor, whole thing. Yep. All right. Listen, we got NBA picks for Thursday when we return. We're done with the football. Brother Brian and I come back Friday on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. We tackle these games in a different way. We'll be right back with some NBA and some Sharp Tank. All right, we're back. We're in the NBA game picking business, fellas. It's here. It's middle of January. We don't mind it. Let's do it. Some NBA parlay kid, Oklahoma City -3.5 on Thursday.
Yeah, I was looking right now. My Cavs +4.5.
Yeah,
looking fantastic against Milwaukee, up by 17. Closing in towards halftime.
You don't want to really say, I was going to lead you in like that, but with the NBA,
I feel pretty good. I know it could change.
Yeah,
it could happen. They were up 22-2, I believe, at some point to start the game. So, but no, I feel good about it. So I'm taking the OKC -3.5 at Utah. We're talking about one of the best teams in the NBA in OKC, coming off two straight losses, looking to get themselves right against the hottest team in the NBA, in the Jazz. I think, you know, I know Brian was on the Jazz today. I think not maybe just this inconvenience. They didn't play today. Obviously, a tragedy on the staff of the Warriors. And I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling they may lose their mojo a little bit there from not playing today, even though maybe it's an advantage to not play today. And now you have one of the best teams in the West coming in. But that being said, OKC, due for a win, haven't been on a 3-game losing streak all season. And Utah comes back down to earth tomorrow after this nice winning streak that they've been on. They're due for a loss. Simple math. OKC covers the 3.5. And I get another basketball winner.
All right. Pretty good. 11-8 on the road. The OKC Thunder. All right.
Yes, sir.
Harry, you know, we're on the same game here. You have the total. I have the side. I'm going to go Pacers +8 over Kings. Big trade there. Pascal Siakam. Is that official? I think it is going to Indiana.
It's official, right?
It is.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he plays on Thursday, but either way, there's excitement in Indiana. This is good signing for Halliburton and Quickly and Barnes. Pacers now got crushed at Utah, who, as we mentioned, Parley Kids has been playing great. But before that, they've been pretty tough on the road. They hung with Denver. They beat the Hawks. They beat the Bucks in Milwaukee. They're 10-10 on the road. Sacramento only 10-10 at home. Pacers 9-2-1 against the spread in the last 12. Sacramento 1-4 against spread last 5 at home. And the Pacers have covered 4 of the last 5 versus the Kings. So I think there's a close one. I'm grabbing the 8 points over Sacramento. And Harry, you like the over, speaking of over, in that game.
Yeah, look, Pacers are first in the NBA in scoring. Sacramento isn't too shabby either when it comes to scoring, averaging over 118 points a game. Pacers are tied with Atlanta in giving up the most points in the league. And Sacramento, as Sal, you mentioned, not so great at home. You just mentioned 10-10 record at home. Sacramento's actually given up 130 points or more in their last 3 home games. I'm going over 244.5.
All right. Now, Bry is, I'm glad he's doing a college game here, but going against the Oregon Ducks here, the undefeated in conference Oregon Ducks.
Look, I know you told me NBA, but we only had...
No, it's fine.
There's only two lines out there. But yeah, I'm taking Colorado. It actually went to -6.5, which is a little weird. Oregon's probably actually been playing a little bit better recently. But yeah, I'm going against Archie here. Both teams are solid. And I would say Colorado just had a recently rough stretch on the road. But I will say they're significantly better at home, where they're 10-0. And they've won pretty much all their home games have kind of been blowouts. I think they've won by an average margin of victory of about 20 points per game. And this is a game that Colorado last year beat up on Oregon at home by more than 20. Colorado just seems to be a little bit better defensive team. So I think they win and cover a rather high scoring game here. So.
All right. I'm going to an Oregon USC and it has nothing to do with Oregon or Archie or anything. My, Harrison's coach is a big, big USC guy, a basketball coach. So, and it just happens to be for that game. So that'd be
nice. Good. So you're going to go see Bronny.
I'm going to see Bronny. There you go.
Nice.
Bronny against the Ducks. That'll be good enough. I think that's February 1st or something right in there. All right, you guys. Sharp Tank. Who were the winners last week? Harry, you lost.
I won.
Bri, you
I lost.
And Parlay
I
Kid.
Won. Yeah, I had
Cowboys screwed me.
All right, but Parlay Kid, you're doing it again. Let's start with you. You kind of had all the favorites last week.
You know I'm a sucker for this. This is what I was talking about before. I have to take these four home teams on the money line. Chances are one of them will lose, most likely. I just don't know which one. But yeah, I like all the I really do. Obviously, it's not saying much. I like the Ravens. I like Detroit.
Right.
I like San Fran. I mean, am I going out on a limb by saying that? Absolutely not. And then I like, of course, I'll take the Bills this week. Like Harry's saying, I do think it's the Bills' time. That's the one I'm probably most worried about. But, you know, like I said last week when we talked about this, you know, which team was I most worried about? Obviously the Cowboys. And sure enough, they were the one that came back to lose for me and my moneyline parlay. But plus 243 to go with all the home faves. Look, 5-1 from the home team so far, right? Mm-hmm. Like the one being the one that you figured it would be. Home field is a distinct advantage in these playoffs for most teams, Sal. I like it here this weekend, too, I think.
All right.
I hope we see some good football games. I really do. But, you know, I think there's going to be probably two lopsided scores at least this weekend for the home.
Well, favorites. You got the monster favorites on Saturday. Then you got to do a little work on Sunday. But I'm looking at last year, similar situation. This round, three home teams won. Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers won. And then the Bengals went to Buffalo and crushed them. Similar situation. Chiefs going to Buffalo this year. That was last year. See, now I got to look all these up. Now I have to look. 2021. That was a garbage. Bucks went to the Saints and won. Is that right? Yeah, I guess that's right. Chiefs won. Packers won at home. Bills won at home. So it does seem to be 3-1. It's always a snag, right? 2020, Packers won. Chiefs killed the Texans. 49ers won. And then the Titans beat the Ravens in 2020. So there's always...
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Wait. Now I got to keep going. Saints beat the Eagles in 19. Patriots beat the Chargers. The Chiefs beat the Colts. And the Rams beat the Cowboys. All right. That was a good one for you. 20-19. All right. So you got to break the curse. This will be a four-year streak to break in here with that. All right, Harry, let's hear yours.
Yeah. Before I do, so I'll get to my FanDuel same game parlay. You mentioned you were happy Brian had a college game. I did consider this. I don't know the line, but on Saturday, I do really like St. John's over Marquette. Patino has COVID. They lost by one to Creighton. They got steamrolled on Tuesday by Seton Hall. Totally makes sense to love Marquette, who's ranked over St. John's. Go the other way. St. John's is beating Marquette on Saturday. But aside from that,
we don't even know what the line is. Whatever it is,
take St. John's money line. They're probably going to be a 4-point underdog.
All right.
I'm telling you, St. John's wins that game. But my same game parlay involves Bills and Chiefs game. It pays plus 215. It's a 3-leg same game parlay. First, obviously, Bills money line. 3 straight years, the Bills have beaten KC in the regular season, all in Arrowhead. Now they get it done in Western New York.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, 200 or more passing yards. Allen, last 5 meetings versus Kansas City, 233 or more yards in all 5. And in 4 of those 5, 287 or more. And in 9 playoff games, Josh Allen has over 200 yards in all 9. And for the third leg, Allen to have over 1.5 touchdown passes. Had 3 last week versus Pittsburgh. Has had at least 2 touchdown passes in 6 of his last 8 playoff games. And against Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs defense in his last 5 games against Kansas City, Josh Allen has 13 passing touchdowns.
I hate it. Because it's like, I like the Bills too, but this is not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. Just there's too much love and too much anti-Chiefs. And I know the result of this, Harry. We've seen it too many times before. You're picking against the Chiefs.
They weren't that impressive last week. Miami was awful. Anybody could beat Miami last week. Anybody.
Well, you're the one who said that the Steelers weren't in it against the Bills with the 10 minutes left, whatever.
That's going to make people think, just like I said about Detroit. I wanted Detroit to play a close game against the Rams. They did. They rolled Tampa now. Same thing with Buffalo. Buffalo was a one-score game 10 minutes ago. Well,
it wasn't a close game. They covered. Yeah.
And they still covered, but still it was a one-score game with 10 minutes ago. This game, forget about it.
Oh, man.
See you later, Andy.
I don't know about this. Brian, I don't know.
He's
see a therapist. It's crazy.
And, you know, 4-8 on the road in playoffs.
We can't have this because now he's forcing us to even think about rooting for the Chiefs.
I know. Mahomes as an underdog is like 9-1 against the spread or something. Crazy.
Harry loves like a blowout in this game. Right. Yeah. Chris and Larry are gonna be really
They actually both like it.
Just go shovel the stadium and bet the Chiefs. They'll be happier then. You'll be doing better justice there. All right. Bri, big UFC card.
Yeah, big UFC. UFC 297, right? I hit last week. I had Vitor Bev to win round 7.
Man, that was great. 7 through 12. It was nice.
In the 7th round, I won the week before, too. So I had a rough stretch until the last two. But I know Michael is going to hate this pick. But I'm taking Duplessis plus 108 over Sean Strickland. Look, I will say this middleweight division has been a carousel, right? You just assumed Adesanya was going to take control of this and reign for 5-6 years, and you didn't see that at all, right? Adesanya won, then Pereira beat Adesanya, then back to Adesanya, then Strickland with that big upset over Adesanya. And I would say Strickland obviously is a really tough boxer, but we've seen him prior to that as Adesanya fight not fight smart. He didn't fight smart against Pereira. He got knocked out. Cannonier outfought him in that fight too. So I think the thing with Duplessis is he's a really awkward fighter. At times, when you watch him, you'll be like, this guy sucks. And I guarantee Michael has sent me that text a million times when Duplessis has fought, that he sucks. But he's very awkward, has a ton of power, and he can win multiple ways. Like, he dominated that fight, especially after the first round against Whitaker, right? I was not expecting that at all. And when you watch that fight, when Whitaker was landing shots on Duplessis, it was almost like a little kid punching an adult, right? Like nothing was happening, right? You felt like nothing could hurt this guy. So I like that Duplessis is a little bit of an underdog here, and I think he wins it.
All right, Mikey Meatballs, you've been called out. You going against Uncle Bri here?
I'm going Strickland in this fight.
Yeah.
Knew it.
Strickland, by the way, Brian, would question your sexual orientation picking against him with so much enthusiasm.
Yes, he would.
Interesting. All right. Oh, man, this is a good one. This goes up against, I guess the football games will be over, right, by the time this
hits? I love that part. It's a good night, right? The main last two fights will be taken over. Once
after
the
Green Bay, San Francisco. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, that's a fun one. All right, I'm going to go with Bri here. I'm going to go with Bri. I went with him last week. Pugilistic competition there. That was nice. 7-12. He picked it. And the plus is, all right, plus 108. That's a good one. We'll have something to root for here, Bri. Why is there only like a minus 440 on here? I don't see any minus 650s on the undercard here.
There's not a prelims. Lot. Not a huge favorite.
Gross.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Jasmine Jastavicious at minus 400 in the prelims at 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock my time. All right, listen, let's take another break and we'll be right back. All right, let's hit the email. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. We get lots of notes here from our devoted listeners, viewers, whatever you are. You're there for us. Matt Maraconda. Oh, this is our Buffalo guy here.
Yes.
Fellas, as a duly appointed representative by the Parlay Kid of the great city of Buffalo, I applaud TPK for mentioning we were voted the nicest place in America by the good people at the still relevant Reader's Digest. TPK correctly mentioned we are known as the Queen City, but we are also known as the City of Good Neighbors, which was on full display in what was a difficult 2022. And yes, It's a 2022. Oh, yes, it's a reasonable assessment that people are nicer in the summer outside of the gray winter. So maybe meatballs didn't get the full impact of our niceness. Having said all that, the Bills play in Orchard Park, not Buffalo. So all bets are off for their niceness. Those are the people who invaded school board meetings a couple of years ago. Keep up the great work, Matt Maraconda. All right. So, yes, Parley Kid cited an article, which he had to read like three or four times to figure out that they meant Buffalo, nicest city, meant nicest people, right?
Yeah, that's what it meant. The nicest people. Yeah, they're very, very helpful, very friendly. Obviously, Matt is amongst one of those people.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. Actually, found out and just chatting with him a little bit, used to was a part of the staff at Detroit Mercy Division I basketball for a while. And
so Dick Vitale coach.
One of his former players is now the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, Coach Green.
All right.
So, very, very great listener for us. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for writing in, Cousin Sal against the lodge at gmail.com. All right, Meatballs, now that we know what the article was really trying to say, now we went to you because you attended 4 years at Buffalo, University of Buffalo. And when we said, we thought it was the nicest city, is like nicest, looking city, I don't know, just aesthetically. But now that we know the nicest people, would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I'll give him that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. He's thousands of miles away. It doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want. There you go. All right. So now we know Harry is dying to give us an Australian Open pick. We're in the second round. What do you got, Harry?
Yeah. Look, Sal, before the Australian Open, I told you and our buddy Bill Simmons that Yannick Sinner at 17-1 was my pick. Now he's plus 550.
Always like him, though, right?
Yeah. Not always. Brian's had him once or twice, too. He's ranked fourth in the world, 10 career tournament victories, 9 of them on hard court. And Joker is having some issues in Sydney. He's dropped sets in both matches to unranked players. So Sinner, like I said, I got him at 17-1. He's now plus 550. And on the women's side,
plus 490, by the way, Sinner. Sinner's 490 now. 490. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
All Buffalo Bills over this, like I said, for this weekend. I'm taking Jessica Pagula, who was 20-1. She's made it through to the third round. She's now 29-1. Interestingly, went up. She's obviously the daughter of the owners of the Buffalo Bills. In her last 3 years in Sydney, she's 12-3, her overall record. She's ranked fifth in the world. Jabeur ranked number 6, already gone. Sakari, number 8, gone too. So I'm taking.
I don't want to hear this. Really? All these ranked females lost already? I mean, what did I do it for? No, I did it for the U.S. Open, Brian,
Was it Wimbledon?
It might have been Wimbledon.
I feel like
I went crazy betting all the, and none of them won. None of them got past like the second round.
I know. I don't know how we.
She's 23 now, Harry. Harry has trouble reading odds all of a sudden.
It's 23. She was 29.
All right. Well, they play all day, you know. They play. You got to check the odds. Everybody's playing all the time.
I feel bad for the city of Buffalo, though. Harry's just throwing a big jinx into this thing.
I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I like them. I was rooting for them and everything. And now it's going to be Chiefs. How does it end, Parley Kid? How does this game end? Because it'll be a questionable call, or it won't be questionable, but Harry will think it's questionable. So how do the Chiefs beat the Bills and foil Harry's plan? What is it?
Yeah, it's probably like a late drive, a pass interference call on the Bills.
Yeah, Pacheco fumbles right at the goal line, but they gave him a touchdown, but the ball went through the end zone, but he already crossed or something like that.
Something like that's going to happen. And then we're going to have to listen to Harry, but he can't say it. He can't use that as excuse. For that game. By the way, Buffalo does have the hottest housing market, according to Zillow.
In
the country.
Right.
The
country. Not the hottest people. Not the hottest housing market.
Brian, do you want to make over under on Sunday, my over under on my gummy intake?
Why?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to have a lot of
money. Why would we do that?
I'm going to have a lot of money on the Bills.
Well, I don't know what a lot of gummies is.
I don't want a lot of money. I'd like to know.
I'll say 4.5. Although I don't know if that's a lot or not.
It's a good number. That's a good number. Four and a half under -130.
Hold on a second. So you have big money on a game. You have to drug yourself to watch it. Is that what you're saying?
Most people do. You don't, but most people do. Darren doesn't. Most people do.
No, you're. But it's more when you have more money on it.
A little more makes it a little more intense.
All right. Yeah, I don't know if most people do that.
People drink and get drunk.
People get drunker.
Like people doing more lines of cocaine if they bet the Knicks over the Spurs. Like, what are you talking about?
Harry obviously has not been betting a lot recently because he would have lost a ton of money recently.
But well, he saved the Peacock money, so now he's got more. Yeah.
This has got to be a monster bet for him. He's been talking it up. This has to be a monster bet for him.
Well, either way, it's a monster bet because he's making it. But how much is it?
Well, I gotta see how I do in the early game, and then see how to make sure Detroit wins.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'll probably spend $800, $1,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. This is big for Harry. All right. God damn. There's no way it's winning. It just isn't. I don't know what to do, Bri.
Yeah.
How's he going to win this game? All he does is mother F the Chiefs.
20, everybody. 48 what? To 20. 20. And I'm being generous giving Kansas City 20, by the way.
All right. I don't like this at all. All right. Good luck, Harry. Don't overdose on gum. Wouldn't that be something if he overdosed to death on gummies and didn't even get to collect his winnings the one time he bet the Chiefs against the Chiefs and won?
Give me a break.
Ursay, Gagnon, same.
I've never heard someone so cocky coming off an 0-6 week. I just never done it. Never in my life.
Hey, my +451. Give me credit.
Yeah.
0-6 is tough. 0-6
is tough to top. You won't go 0-6 this week, Harry. I promise you that. All right, listen. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds for Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.